Okay, it's Monday the 3rd of October, as I said at the start, 2 weeks to go until the polling day, the ACT election due, of course, on the 15th of October. How's it all going from a reporter's point of view? I thought we'd get three of Canberra's gun reporters in. Ewan Gilbert, our ABC News ACT political reporter, is with us. Morning, Ewan.
Morning.
Charlotte Harper is a blogger with the ABC with the Riot Act website, and she's their political reporter. She's here with us too. Charlotte, good morning.
Good morning, Philip.
And Kirsten Lawson, of course, the gun reporter with the Canberra Times. My words, of course, Kirsten. You can take it back there if you like.
Hello.
How are you? Good to see you. Good to see you all in as well. From your point of view, how's the campaign going? Are people engaging with it, Ewan?
Not particularly. I think it's been run, particularly from the Labor Party's point of view, at a pretty cracking pace. So they made their first promise at the start of the campaign.
There's been an announcement today.
They promise every day. And so I think it's been difficult for the public and the media to keep up and give anything, I guess, for anything to gain real traction, I guess, at this point in time.
There seems a bit of tit-for-tatism going on, isn't there, Charlotte and Kirsten? There's one side promises money for hospitals, and hey presto, the other side promises seemingly about the same amount for a different hospital proposition. Is that how you're reading it?
I think that's probably right. Aside from light rail, I think there are a lot of similarities between the two major parties. The hospital promises are different in one sense, though, aren't they? Kirsten can probably talk about this, but the commitment that the Liberals have made to emergency hospitals in the north and south of Canberra, which Labor says is a bad idea.
Yeah, Kirsten, is it? I mean, we'll get to light rail in a second, but apart from light rail, is there a lot to distinguish between the parties?
There's virtually nothing, and I think, as Ewan pointed out, it's hard to keep track of what on earth anyone's announcing, because it's an announcement today, and they add up to this sort of spiralling list of things which basically mirror each other's announcements. I think light rail, but plus the issue of the Land Development Agency, would be the two things that we'll be left with on election day.
You've written before about the budget issues, which haven't really attracted a lot of attention from both sides, partly because they probably don't want to be focusing on it. The budget is in a delicate position here in the ACT, isn't it?
The budget is in a sort of structural deficit, as they describe it, $300 million less that we earn than we spend each year, and no one has looked to address that. No one's even talking about it, and nor does anything anyone said suggest there might be an improvement. I think there's still a surplus a very thin surplus that Andrew Barr is predicting 2 years out, but that's we can all safely say that's gone. And heaven knows when we might be back in surplus.
I mean, it's a point, isn't it? You're nodding your head here. I mean, it's true. The budget is in a delicate position, in structural deficit, as Kirsten said. There really isn't much budget repair talk, is there?
No, and we've heard nothing from really any of the parties about, we were doing the maths the other day, and already both major parties are well up over $1.5 billion in extra spending just as this campaign. But we've heard nothing of cuts, and we've heard nothing of extra revenue raising. The main amount way the territory makes money, of course, is from land sales, and if we're going to crack down on things like the LDA and stop them from blatantly overreaching in the market, then there really does need to be a conversation about where the ACT is going to make all this money from. And continue
Sorry, go on.
So Labor, of course, its program is to increase rates and also to shift the burden through its land taxes onto apartment owners. And it's a policy that has been widely recognised, I think, around the country as a good one in economic terms. But the pain has become too hard. And you saw this budget, the one before the election, they reduced those rates cuts from an average of about 10 or more percent a year down to 4% a year. They come back again at 7%, I think, next year and ongoing. But it'll be a brave government, and especially if it was a Labor government, a chastened one that would continue with anything like the scale of rates increases that we've had. So you do wonder where the money's going to come from.
Where is the money going to come from? Exactly, yes. The LDA's role, well, preemptively, Andrew Barr, in advance of Maxine Cooper's audit report, said in advance a day before that he'd be proposing some changes to the role of the LDA. He'd obviously seen the report, I presume, at the time he was making those remarks. The LDA's report doesn't paint a glowing picture. In fact, the LDA itself seems to concede that its governance and valuation practices need some overhaul, don't they? Who wants to go here on this one, Ewan?
Well, it's Kirsten's beat, this one, but it plays directly into the Liberals' hands, doesn't it? Because this is their whole idea of a government that's been in for too long, is lacking in accountability and transparency, with Auditor General's words again. So this whole saga, whatever you make of it, plays really into the Liberals' path of this is the argument that they keep progressing.
Yeah, it's true, because, I mean, you've written extensively about this in the Canberra Times, breaking a lot of stories about it. It gets back to this land management deal mentality, which I think a lot of people are suspicious about, aren't they?
Yes, I think it would be fair to say that the LDA has brought many of the practices of the private sector into the public sector. I think the way those land deals appear to have been done is sort of regard them as an issue or a difficulty that needs to be fixed. So you bring someone in who can advise or fix an issue for you. They're not the way, it's not the methods of the public sector where a lot more sort of transparency is normally required. David Dawes appears to have used Colliers International as somebody to sort of provide advice, informal advice on a number of those land purchases and to provide, you know, valuations that aren't really valuations, but on that basis to pay the people out, to pay the three or four businesses out and solve that issue.
You know, but all at figures well in excess of what might have been reasonable in the circumstances.
Yes, and of course there's an argument, especially with the, I think, the bike hire business and the Jim Sears who ran the boat hire business, that both those couples made their livelihoods from those businesses. So to pay them their 100 or I'm sorry, I'm just thinking of the figures, the few hundred thousand that the valuations, the sort of the genuine valuations suggested might have been a little unfair. However, they were paid in excess of the valuations. The ones that haven't been explained quite adequately are the Glebe Park purchase at $4.2 million and the Pat Sears purchase at $1
million. Can we talk about the light rail? has anybody fact-checked the... I don't know how much currently the Libs are saying the light rail is going to cost. It was was about $14 billion, I think, last time we looked. Charlotte?
I do think, as a voter, it would be very hard to get your head around what the true story is about light rail, because you hear completely different figures depending on who's talking at the time. Yeah. The Liberals have run a really successful wedge campaign on this issue, and you know we're seeing it in the core flutes on the side of the road that they're planting right next to the candidates that they're up against, joining the issue of rising rates to light rail, which you know the Labor and the Greens would argue that there's probably no connection there. They say that light rail is only going to be 1% of the budget and that it's entirely manageable.
You wonder how much is it costing? $14 billion.
It depends if you're talking in real money terms or future
on total project cost.
And we don't know because remember, Labor has promised a tram south of the lake to into Woden, and even the latest budget update says we don't have figures on that. We don't even have a business case, so we don't really know how much the tram is going to cost at this point in time. We know it will be over the life of it in the billions of dollars. But we also know from an economics point of view that most
economists... Hang on, over the life of it, billions of dollars. The government says it's going to cost $760 million to build, right? Mr. Hansen says it's going to cost $14 billion. So there's a fair discrepancy there, isn't there, Kirsten?
Well, I think 710, I think, might be the government's figure, and that's the figure they've signed up to with the consortium. That's the construction cost.
So where's the truth?
I think that's a fair and truthful construction cost. Right. It has a proper contingency in it. The auditor pointed out that it was, I think it's 900 and something or other, close to a billion when you take into account the cost of running the thing at $60 million a year for 20 years. The figure of $14 billion was Khalid Ahmed's figure, and he's a respected former deputy of Treasury. So, and he looked at extending the current costs to all the future routes, because the government's plan is, of course, a citywide.
So that figure's a total cost of all the thing if it ever got built.
Yes, and of course it won't. I mean, once you get to Woden, can a government really face doing that all over again and spending the money all over again? It's just so much money over so many years. Mm. It's hard to imagine that it will ever, in the end, be completed.
Yeah. All right. How's it all going to go? I mean, predictions are hard to make. I mean, we've often talked about the election being decided by the fifth seat in each of the electorates, and maybe the fifth seat in Yerribee, the Gungahlin seat. As Charlotte, how would you see it? Where would you see it being decided?
It's interesting that you say it's Yerribee. I did an interview late last week with Richard Farmer from Canberra Community Voters, and he's done some polling using the same pollsters who did work for Nick Xenophon in the lead-up to the federal election that showed that it's actually Ginninderra that's the seat, where there's potential for an independent or a minor party to get up. He sees, according to that polling, that there'll be three Liberals in Murrumbidgee and Brindabella, and three Labor/Greens in Currajong and Yerribee, which means the deciding seat would be that seat in Ginninderra. I must say I question this because I know a lot of people who have not decided how they're going to vote yet and probably won't decide until they walk into the polling booth.
Kirsten, are the Times running a poll, publishing a poll?
Not to my knowledge at the stage. It is a complicated...
But in the time-honoured tradition, you'll keep your powder dry, I suspect.
It is enormously complicated, of course, in the ACT, especially with five electorates, to get... It comes down to such a complicated and detailed voting, who's eliminated first. And
with Hare Clark, how much does a poll tell you? Where do you think it's going to be decided?
Well, I mean, I think if we did do a poll, we'd safely find there's going to be a significant swing to the Liberals. Mm. And then you've got to start adding up the individual seats. And I think, Charlotte is right that the Belconnen seat ought to be in the bag for Labor, but it may not be. If it's not, then Labor...
Well, there's an awful lot of independents there, aren't there? There's an awful lot of independents. I mean, the biggest in the field, so it's going to split the vote.
Mm. I think Labor basically thinks it can get back in on the back of the Greens. It hopes that the Greens will win the one in Woden Western and possibly also the Ginninderra seat.
I think the safe money's on that it will be a Labor government in power with help from the Greens. I heard some internal party polling the other day that actually had the numbers at 11, 11, 3. So 11 Labor, 11 Liberals and 3 on the crossbench. I think while that may not be correct, and that's not what the punters are predicting, but if you get there, then you can't necessarily assume that a protest vote will go to the Liberals, is what that's saying.
It's going to be interesting, as they say. 2 weeks to go. Thanks very much, guys. Good on you.